greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on some scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but we don't drag our women into the caves by the hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure women into your cave and keep her hair looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Smith & Wesson, Bowtech, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, you look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out. Mother Nature's still shining on us, man, and getting us a little bit warmer than normal right now. But makes me want to grill something. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the weekend, and it's all about burgers, Jop. We're going to go up and down this country, and we're going to talk about burgers that will make my mouth water already just thinking about a beautiful olive burger or one of these wonderful burgers we're going to talk about. That's what the show is about, man. The greatest thing in the world to grill, in my opinion, is a hamburger.
Well, I think everybody started out that way. I mean, because it's easy, but there's an art to it. And I think that we're going to cover most of that this week on the show, plus a lot of other things. But, you know, there's a lot of different things that people call a burger. And it's basically ground meat of some sort. I mean, I don't know about you, but beef is obviously the king there. But you got pork, you got chicken, you got turkey. I've had all of that in what I would call a burger. And we can run all of that stuff over top of the grill and make it good.
Yeah, we're going to do one of those later on, ground chicken burgers. I don't know if you've ever had one or not. They're a little tricky, but there's some good ways to do it.
Right. We'll talk about mixing fats with them if the meat is too lean. We'll talk about what fat content to choose if you've got a choice, because a lot of times you'll roll into the bigger grocery stores and they'll have five or six different grinds that, and if you don't know what you're looking for, sometimes some of those aren't the best ones for the grill. And so maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But I did do some burgers on the grill this weekend. I'm going to save the recipes for later in the show. But what I will tell you is
no, last... go ahead, spill your guts. No, let's hear it. What'd you do?
We talked about last week about cleaning the grill.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So you actually cleaned yours.
I got my grill out and I cleaned it because it was on my mind last weekend when we were doing this. And I put it back together and... the burner wasn't seated tight enough onto the valve.
The orifice.
When I got it back on there.
Back
and
at the orifice again.
That's right. And I had a flame up on the kind of the valve come out the middle of the back of my gas grill. And one of them, it was askew, and I had a torch blowing out of the one that was not fully into the burner.
Pre-burner ignition.
Yeah.
And, that's how people burn their houses
down. Yeah, well, I didn't get quite that far, but it did what we were describing last year is that rush of gas came out of there, that the valve and it set my tank foul.
Sure, because it wasn't
pressurized,
seated,
right?
So.
And it set my tank foul, and I had to take it all back apart. Put it back together, right?
And now it's kind of hot.
Right, yeah. More than kind of. Yeah, so you have to let that happen. And, okay, I'm a grilling guy, and I jacked it all up because I was hurrying, and I wanted to get dinner going, and I put those burgers on there, and then I couldn't get any. I got a flash, and I couldn't get anything hot, and learned my own lesson. You know, I got to practice what I preach is the bottom line because I jacked that up. I got it fixed. It's working perfectly now. But, you know, there was a 30-minute delay in the middle of the game.
What do you think about that, Mr. Producer? I mean, here we got a real live grilling guy, and he still flubs up his grill. What's that tell you?
Man, he's got some work to do. He's got some catching up to do, I think.
We are being produced today by our faithful producer, Brian Fonger, who is the wizard at the board and makes us sound halfway decent anyway.
Yeah.
But what that really tells me is that anybody can make that same mistake.
Right.
And maybe you were rushing it a little bit. Maybe it took you a little longer to clean it, and you were getting hungry, and you were anticipating those burgers, so you started Russian getting that thing back together and just a little bit off. It's anybody can do it. That's my point. That's my takeaway.
I wanted to eat a little humble pie and let you know that it happens because it did, and no harm, no foul. I got it back together and it's working perfect and made the burgers. But
so let's see. That makes it pellet grills and gas grills now that he's struggling
with. I'm the guy. I'm trying to be everybody's friend. I'm trying to be everybody's friend. You know, you're the pro. I'm just along for the ride. Yeah.
Somebody's a little bitter.
Now, it can happen. Hey, we've all taken our grills apart and done the same thing. I'm guilty. I have, you know, quite a few grills, and some of them are a little tricky, and especially that G-Sport from Tech, man. I've had that thing bouncing around in my trunk doing demos back in the day, and get out a little late, whatever, fire it up, and, you know, the glass is off. And now the thing's hot, and people are standing there watching you.
Right.
So at least nobody was watching you. You got to do it.
It was on my back deck by my lonesome. Yes. Me, I did drink a craft beer to drown my sorrow. I had an Arcadia Cheap Date. Because that was all I could afford after screwing up the grill.
And right now we're tasting a little bit of Schmo's Shameless Old Pikey, and that's kind of a nice, very different new beer for them. Just in time for the St. Paddy's Day thing, I guess. They probably brought it out for.
A little Irish Red Ale. Yeah. Says it's 5.3 alcohol by volume, so I guess I would
that's a nice level.
Consider that a session beer.
Because, you know, we drink by the bucket, so 5.3 is safer.
Right.
Was your St. Paddy's Day a big deal? Or
You know, it I watched a little basketball. You know, I have to say that I wasn't disappointed that Michigan had to play into the tournament, and my Sparties were a number two pick. I might have got a little mileage out of that.
I've heard a lot of people talking about Michigan State being the chosen one this year.
Well, they've got a
national
good team.
Pundits are putting their money on State. So I hope that doesn't jinx them.
Right, Valentine's Player of the Year. So they've got the top guy supposedly in the country, at least. Somebody voted that way on their team. So, but they still all got to play. You got to put the ball in the bucket, man. But this is a great time of year. I love this time of year with March Madness.
Yeah, that means it's time for spring break.
Right.
We're usually in Gulf Shores. This year, I think we're heading out to California because we have some kids out there. But otherwise, no, St. Paddy's Day, I was driving. I was on my way to Davenport. So I didn't have to.
Were you driving or walking across your living room? What are you talking about?
I was driving. I had to go to Davenport, Iowa. And my wife was pretty disappointed because she's got a little Irish blood in her, which means you're all Irish.
I have spent a few St. Paddy's Day with you guys at Quinn and Toohey's. And that's a famous Irish pub here in West Michigan in Grand Rapids up on Plainfield
Avenue.
It's
the hallmark.
Right, it is. It's a lot of fun to be there. Didn't make it this year, but I'm sure there was several thousand faithful that did.
You know, Jop, as I was getting this show plan together early on in the week, just really trying to dig deeply into hamburgers and what makes the best burgers. We've all had great ones and crappy ones. And so I started just really scouring the internet for awards and all these things. And I ran across quite a few magazines and newspapers who did their best of. And this might have been USA Today, but I don't remember who it was. Somebody named the top 40, and I found a lot of really cool sites on this. And one that really piqued my interest was called Perini Ranch, and it's down in Texas. And what I liked about it was I got onto their website, and I felt like I knew the company. I mean, they have everything laid out in a pictorial, and this next segment, we're going to talk to Tom Perini, who's the man, and I think the dude like raises all his own grass-fed cattle and everything, so we're going to find out how Perini Ranch makes such a killer burger.
Oh, wow, that's cool, because it has to start with the beef or the animal, it's going to go from there, and this is the guy where it all starts. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about the burger. Sticky ones, stick with us. We'll be back. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com. Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With three locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Cranker's, yeah!
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. You got to get out, fire up that grill, that smoker, even a deep fryer, but you have got to make it happen. Mother Nature is shining on us again and giving us a little relief from this winter up here, and we are got to get out and take advantage of it. And one of the best things to do on your grill is a burger. This week's show is all about any and every kind of burger you can come up with, but you know what? No burger starts without the best meat. And if you're looking around for the best beef you can find, there are a few things you need to look for. And Barbecue Bob, you ran across a guy that might know a thing or two about that.
That's right. And it's in a town called Buffalo Gap, Texas. It's just south of Abilene. And if you're down Texas way, the Perini Ranch is apparently quite a big deal, Jop. And on the grilling line right now with us, we have the founder, the man, the actual rancher, the guy who started it all, Tom Perini. Welcome to the Grilling Guys, Tom.
Well, hi, guys. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're great, man. First of all, I just want to say this right out front here, and I ain't sucking up, but I love Texas.
Well, thank you, sir. I do, too. I've lived here all my life, and it's a very nice place to live, and I will tell you today it's 85 degrees and sunny.
That's pretty nice. I did my boot camp in San Antonio, so that was my first welcome into Texas. And that wasn't the best way to get there, but it was the way I got there.
No, I understand. San Antonio is a great city.
It is beautiful. It really is. I didn't get to see a whole lot of it, though. I was too busy doing push-ups and running.
I understand.
Yeah, so my partner here, Jop, and I are just doing a whole show on burgers, and I was scouring the web this week, and I ran across somebody rated you in the top 40 burgers in the country, and there was a whole lot of cool-looking burgers on there, but when I saw yours in the description, it sounded more like a real burger that I would want to eat. It wasn't one of these crazy, you know, Inferno burgers, or it didn't have some bizarre thing to it. It just looked like you guys really knew how to throw down a burger, and we like to kind of help folks figure out perfection. So
well,
I guess I'd like to find out how you did that.
Well, I'll be glad to tell you what my theory is. We've been very fortunate. We've been We've won several. We won the Today Show hamburger contest and several in the States. And the key, first of all, a hamburger is very complex. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's just, you know, getting a piece of meat and a bun. But the truth is it's really complex because you have lots of different ingredients. And I think our key is I use certified Angus chuck, and it is 80-20 mix. It's ground. And we season it with the seasoning that we have, and then we make half-pound or 8-ounce balls.
Nice.
And then we can when it's time to do it, make a hamburger, we actually hand pat it out and put it. We do it on a flat grill, but you could also do this on an outside barbecue pit or a outside fire grill. So the difference is most hamburgers today are pressed meat, where they run it through a big machine that presses it,
right.
And you can actually use it like a frisbee. And so we don't do that. We hand pat it, which is loose enough that it still will break apart, and you have it really tastes like beef instead of just something that's been pressed. So I think that is very important. But they can hand pat it into a ball when it's time to make the hamburger, pat it out, and put it either on a flat grill or on a barbecue pit.
Tom, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Is it ever frozen?
No.
Exactly. No. There is a huge difference in fresh, isn't there?
There is, and we get it in bags from a company that actually grinds it for us. And then we make our hamburgers. But no, it's not frozen. Then when you start from that point, we have a sourdough bun that's has a little sweet to it made, and it has a nice sourdough flavor, but it really is good. And we get that, and we'll put that on a flat grill with a little margarine or butter. And grill it, and then we toast it to get it hot. And then when you're picking, you know, and we have two different types of hamburgers, the old-time way with tomatoes and onions and that way. But we have one called the ranch burger. And we actually get purple onions, green chilies, mushrooms, and with a little olive oil, and put on a grill and just saute them enough that they get transparent. And using real cheese. Now, you're from cheese country. And you'll understand what I'm saying, but you use real cheese. We use cheddar or provolone. We don't use any fake cheese. That's a no-no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference. A good cheddar. Well, provolone's very nice, too.
Well, but, you know, you get a good cheddar, and while the hamburger's in its finishing stage cooking, we put it on and it melts. And then we put all the vegetables on the top, and then we have a selection of great mustards that are, you know, like a stone ground or we use a fancy mustard and mayonnaise, and good, you know, like dill pickle spears. And by doing that, by using all the top vegetables, same way in the summer when we have our gardens, we use homegrown tomatoes. So when you use the best product, it's just not the meat and the bun. You have to follow through on all of that to make an outstanding hamburger.
That sounds awesome. Now, you raise your own cattle?
We have cattle, but the amount of beef that we serve, we're not in a position to process them. I hate to tell you, but ours have names.
You have pets.
Yeah, braid their hair, the whole deal. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. Now, we have longhorns, and people like to see them. And longhorns are, you know, your real beef cattle are either Angus or Hereford or Shorthorn. Or, you know, there's several really good English breeds that are beef cattle. Longhorns are very lean, but they're more pets, and people like to have their pictures taken and things like that. So.
Sure.
So we buy all of our meat, whether it's steaks or prime ribs or whatever, we purchase all of that.
So, Tom, you blew right over one of the things that we talk about a lot, and that is the seasoning of the meat. Didn't hear you elaborate on that, so I'm going to try to twist your arm a little bit and give our listeners just, you don't have to give the quantities, but some of the ingredients.
And you know, you with the seasoning, and people can make that any way that you want. I mean, a basic seasoning would be a little salt, and I use a coarse ground pepper, and then you can add, you know, garlic or whatever flavors you like. We have a seasoning that we use at the ranch that has all those ingredients in it, and that's just a basic seasoning. You do not want a seasoning that's going to overpower it.
Right. And I'm with you. I love certified Angus beef. We have a large grocery store up here called Meijer that serves certified Angus beef at a very reasonable price, and I buy lots of CAB, and 80-20 is the perfect mix.
Yeah.
I agree with you absolutely. If you just tuned in, we're talking with Tom Perini from the Perini Ranch in Buffalo Gap, Texas. Now, you can hit the website for Perini Ranch if you want, but I would tell you, if you're ever in Texas and you're near Abilene, this would be a place you'd want to go because it's one of the top-rated steakhouses in Texas as well. And I just can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking some time to come on with us, Tom. And if next time I get to Texas, I'm going to do my best to get down there and try one of those burgers out.
And one more thing that I think I should bring up if you have time. If you're using good beef, I don't completely overcook it.
No.
If you cook it to well done,
you ruined it.
You start losing a lot of the juices.
Yeah.
So I like to have it underneath that. I don't mean rare, but
all right. Tom,
don't overcook it.
That's great advice, and we're up against a break, so we're going to have to let you go, but I know you're busy today, and I sure appreciate you taking 10 minutes out of your schedule to talk with the Grilling Guys.
My pleasure. If I can ever help again, let me know and come see us.
I can't wait.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. That's Tom Perini, Perini Ranch, Buffalo Gap, Texas. Doesn't get any more authentic than that, man. I can hear the Longhorns crying already.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek Original Brew Pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about beef, chicken, turkey, maybe even some pork. We're going to grind it up and call it a burger today. And if you were just tuning in, you missed a great interview right there with a guy named Tom Perini. He's a humble man. He was voted the best burger in Texas by Food Network Magazine. So this is a guy that knows how to make burgers, and he broke it down for us. You know, a couple tips, right?
Number three steakhouse in Texas, too, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, so he knows his meat.
They've been slinging some beef.
Right, exactly. Really good. Really good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, it's nice to always run into an original. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. It is everything about building a better burger today. That's what we're going to talk about. Stuffed, plain, designer, loaded. There's all kinds of terms for different ways to do burgers, but we're going to try and cover just a few of them today, and maybe your weekend will be a little bit better when you can impress Mama with something that really makes her scream, because maybe you're not.
Let me touch on something that Tom talked about, that, and you mentioned it right at the end of the interview, and that's the 80-20 fat to lean content. When you go to your bigger box stores, your bigger grocery stores, you're going to see a variety. About 80-20 is about as much
fat as that's what they call a hamburger.
Right.
The trend is 85-15 now is what you see a lot. But I pick, and I just went and picked some more up, 80-20. When you're grilling a burger on the grill, I want a lot of fat because I'm going to melt it off.
It is. It's going to cook out of there. And that marbling, you know, as much as you hate to say it, fat is flavor. And you've got to have some of it in there, or you're just going to have this dry hockey puck that Tom talked about, if you overcook it, because it can go from good to bad in a hurry if the leaner that meat is. And we've talked about that with all kinds of game and everything else.
Now, I'm gonna add a little caveat to that. Now, we're going to get into right now talking about stuffed burgers and loaded burgers. And when you start doing that, now I'm going to pull out my hamburger press, because we want to talk about a few accessories to making a burger. And if you don't have a hamburger press, I'm going to tell you that it's a good idea to pick one up. They're only about $10. You can get them at your favorite grill store, your favorite big box store, anywhere where they have all their grill stuff. It's just it just looks like a sort of the thing you use for air hockey. You know, it's just a round thing with a handle across, and it looks like what you flick the hockey across an air hockey table on. But then it's got this ring, and you put it down over your meat, and you pack your meat down. So the way he's talking about doing just a single burger, yeah, absolutely, make it into a ball and flatten it out a bit. Actually, even put your thumb in the middle and dent it. But when you're talking about doing a stuffed burger, now we're going to start talking about putting some things inside that meat and doing two thin patties. So I'm going to want a burger press for that. And will it tighten the meat up a little bit? Yeah. But to get to where we have to go, that's what you have to do. Because if you hand pack them, your burger is going to be too loose, and your stuffing is going to come out as you're grilling it. You're going to
fall apart as you're grilling
it. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite accessories when I'm making burgers is a good Michigan microbrew, and I just switched over to one of these amber teas from Schmoe's, and
pretty tasty, isn't it?
Still one of my favorites out of that brewery, man.
Yeah. That's a stalwart beer.
Yeah, it is. Really good, and it's just an ale. I'm a big ale fan. Love them. Again, 5.3% alcohol, good session beer. You know, most of the stuff that Schmoe's puts out are session ales and beers. They're not the heavy ones, despite me tripping over my tongue after having a little.
So there's some cool people around the country doing lots and lots of things with stuffed burgers, and that's kind of, I guess, one of the things I just wanted to get into is how the average guy can pull off one of these stuffed burgers. So that's why I talk about the Burger Press, because if you you might as well plan on making at least a third or a half-pound burger when you do this. There's no point in trying to make a small stuffed burger. You'll
not enough room for the stuff.
Defeating the purpose, right? Yeah. So if you get that Burger Press out and you put a nice little quarter-pound wad of meat in there and you press it out and make your first patty, and then I've got this big cutting board that you gave me, and if you have a really big cutting board, it works really well to process all this meat on. Something plastic or synthetic is really nice for the cleanup. And you just stomp out, you know, 4, 8, 6 of these patties, whatever you want. And then you put like a couple of nice flat pieces of cheese in there is one of the things. Really, for me, a stuffed burger says cheese. I don't want too much else in there because I want something that'll break down and compress as it cooks. And then when you take a bite into it, it's like a volcano. And the cheese just comes pouring out all over the bun. And, you know, watching somebody eat a burger and having a huge mess on their hands, that's the ultimate satisfaction.
Garbage burgers, man.
Yeah,
you gotta love
them. I want to see, I want to see them having a problem with, mayonnaise running down their hand or ketchup or, whatever they like putting on it and just, trying to eat it and really licking their hands.
Perini there in the last segment talked about putting the red onions and things inside of that. I think one of the keys that he mentioned too was the fact that he cooks that stuff off and makes it a little bit softer.
That makes it different.
It makes a big difference in there because...
But that's a topping.
Well, yeah, it was a topping, but you could put onion in there or maybe little bits of this and that, but not a lot because the thing's going to fall apart. It needs to have glue around the edges.
Yeah, that's why the cheese is nice instead. Yep. Well, and that was my point for when you're putting that cheese in there, you cut those pieces of cheese and use a good grade of cheese, not just basic cheap American cheese, but like a provolone or a cheddar, Swiss, whatever you want. Cut your slices to be about a half the size of what that patty is, so they're in the center of it. Because when you put that second patty down on it and you compress it, you're going to actually go around and kind of like staple the end of that meat so that the patties
kind of like you do on a pie crust,
exactly
around the perimeter. Sure,
need it, yeah, so that they mend together. Because when you throw that on the grill, that's going to be what holds the thing together. It'll cauterize, right? And when you do a stuffed burger like this, I think it's really important to know that you're only going to flip it one time.
That's right where I was
going
next.
This isn't one that you're going to play with a bunch like trying to perfect a steak or a chicken breast or something. This is going to be one you're going to delicately turn over because it's a little bit of a risk. It's going to want to come undone. So you might actually even hold your hand on the top of it as you flip it down or get a spatula with a gripper on it to flip it so that you keep it intact. But when you're done, that's a beautiful thing. And this is going to be one, you're going to have all that cold cheese in the middle, so it's going to be a bit of a trick to cook, right?
It's going to take a little bit longer because the cheese melting is one of your indicators that the heat got to the center. But the other thing is you don't want the cheese completely melted because then you've overcooked the meat on either side of it. So it is a little bit delicate. You're using if you use a digital thermometer, which a lot of people don't with a burger, but if you got stuffed burgers, maybe. You're going to stick it in there, and you don't want it to the 135, which is your medium. You're going to want it something less than that because remember the meat's thinner on the outside, and you're into the cheese. So
yeah, I think it's going to take practice.
Right. Right. And that's the cool
part.
Plan
on doing a couple.
Right. As you say, that's the cool part of this. If you screw it up, is burger. I mean, yeah, okay, it's $4.59 a pound now, but it's not $12.99 steak.
Right.
So give it a shot.
And guess what? If it's not fully cooked, you can throw it back on and finish it up a little bit.
Absolutely. And if it's overcooked, well, the dog's sitting right there.
No, you know what? I don't think the average guy who's any good at all at grilling a burger is going to overcook it anyway, because that's one of the things we all master pretty quickly is getting that burger right.
not everybody's an expert that's listening. So we've been told, you know, even the guy that claims to be one can put his grill together wrong once in a while, you know. But anyway, it's all about designer burgers this week, and we've had a little bit of fun with it. And coming up next, we may take a little waiver from the beef. Start looking at maybe some turkey or some pork or maybe even some chicken burgers. You're going to want to stick with the Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
Hey, Jop, I'd high-five you on that last play, but I can't. My plate's full, and I got my beer in the other hand.
Hey, Bob, you need the Super Tailgate Plate. It holds a bottle, a can, or a glass, plus all the fixings in one hand. Whether you're tailgating, partying, or at home sitting around the campfire, you got a hand free for anything you need to do.
Wow, Jop. Where do I get mine?
You know what? At thegrillingguys.com, we've got them. Just click on that Super Tailgate link, and they're available in 12 and 4-packs.
Now that's a game winner, baby.
You bet.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in this weekend. It's a beautiful weekend to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. I'm headed there right after the show. I am going to do some burgers, Barbecue Bob.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, goinky dink. And actually, I've got a little diversion from the ground chuck that I usually, the 80-20 that I usually use, is I'm going to go down the ground turkey route.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's cooked right, I think that it's a very, very tasty burger.
Well, that's funny because it plays right into the show plan. That's amazing that you bring that up.
You know, I'm a pro. I get it. I tried to tee it up. It couldn't be smooth. You had to call it out, didn't you?
No. Yeah. No, because I don't know that this is really a term. It's what I call them, but I call them designer burgers because I like to chop up small things and throw them in meats that need help. Turkey needs help.
It does. It's lean. It's very dry. This is a great place for your Old World Olive Company olive oils to come into the mix. Any of those flavored olive oils that they offer up, not a lot, but just a little bit of it mixed in with that ground turkey. Great flavor profile, but adds the fat that you need in there to make this thing juicy and not dry out.
Those things are tricky. Now, when I do and ground turkey, to be honest with you, let's face it, when you're handling it, it's a little kind of sick looking.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's kind of like poo. So you got to make your patties. It's a bugger to handle. It's just real sticky and, you know, wax paper is what I like.
Because
it wants to stick to the board or you get it all deformed. But if you're going to mix all your stuff in it, that's fine. But here's one thing I'd recommend. When you get done making that patty, then you get that oil out one more time. And you give her a nice little gleaning over because those pot liquors want to stick to the grate like crazy.
Right.
That's and if you can keep it from doing that, you're okay.
And the oil, you can either oil the grate or oil the burger itself. It's easier to oil the burger, in my opinion, because you know it's on there.
Right.
You oil the grate, it falls through. You might miss a spot or whatever. Right. Put it on the burger and because they're fragile. They don't hold together like beef either. They tend to fall apart a little bit. I'm back to the one flip method on that. I usually hit it with a hot grill right off the bat to get a little crust on the outside. Try to flip it over in a different spot on the grill and get a little crust on that, and then let it finish.
You ever see that one tool I've got that holds the onion that I slide across the grill?
Yeah,
it holds a half of an onion, and you dip that onion face in oil, and then you run it on the grill. Dang thing actually works.
Right.
And I think that might be good for a turkey burger, something like that. I've seen people do it with paper towel, too.
Right.
Or a little rag.
Yeah, just make sure the grill's not too hot if you're doing it with paper towel.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have your gloves on.
Right.
But I think it'd be a great idea to oil the grate. I think I agree. I'd oil the grate and the burger.
Yeah.
Because that turkey sticks like crazy. And what you'll end up doing is destroying the thing trying to get it flipped. And, now, that's disappointing.
We haven't touched on this yet, but one of the things that I see a lot of people do is mix their seasoning into their ground meat rather than putting it onto the ground meat after it's patted up. You got an opinion on that?
Oh, you know I do. Turkey? Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Because when I do turkey, personally, I'm going to have onions. I'm going to have a little feta or gorgonzola. I might have some olives. But definitely going to have a little onion and cheese with it, just something to hydrate it because it's such a cursed dry meat that I want something to hold a little bit of moisture inside it because if you got to cook that stuff to 165,
right?
You're going to have
poultry.
You
want to get it done,
puck if you're not careful.
So with regard to the seasoning, if you do mix it in, my recommendation is make your burgers 15 minutes to a half hour ahead of time. And let what moisture is in there get into the seasonings. Let the seasonings release their flavor.
That's a good idea.
Because if you just pack it in and then throw it on the grill, it's not going to get heated up enough in the time that you have it on the grill to release the full flavors. And there's nothing worse than like a dried seasoning, a chunk of seasoning that you bite into when you're eating a burger.
It'll make you drink a lot.
Right.
You know, and that's a really good idea. So maybe you should make those patties up. Get your cookie sheet out, make a bunch of those patties up in advance, and throw them back in the fridge so it stays nice and cold. Because, again, it's poultry.
Yep, especially the poultry.
Dangerous stuff.
Your burgers, your beef burgers, you can leave those sit out on the counter for a half hour before you throw them on the fire, but would not recommend doing that with poultry, whether it's chicken or turkey. Because, you know, chicken, what do you think about that, Bob? Ground chicken. To me, that's harder to work with.
It's wonderful.
It's harder to work with than turkey for me.
You know, what I found is that when I get chicken, it's always from a local butcher. And they don't grind it as fine as a lot of the ground turkey. The ground turkey is like a double or triple grind. That's what makes it look so gross. It's like paste. But the chicken tends to be a little chunkier. Still a bit of a trick to keep it together, though. So, again, I'm going to make sure I coat that patty with oil. And I'm going to have a really hot grill, and I'm going to set it down delicately. And I'm not going to flip it until I know that thing is ready to release from the grate, because the first thing it's going to want to do is sear itself to the grate. And I want it to get hot enough to release. And the spatula is going to tell you that, you know, that's the only thing you can do is just poke it a little bit. And again, that spatula with a gripper on it might be a great thing for a chicken burger. I'm not so big on chicken burger. They taste great, but it's really a pain in the butt. Me, I want some ground certified Angus beef.
Yep. Nothing better than ground chuck. You can go the 85, 90. I've seen it even 95.5.
That's too lean. It's way too lean. Yeah, I see these guys that want the ground round burgers. And yeah. There used to be a chain of restaurants called that, the ground round.
Right.
Well, round steak's pretty boring. I'm sorry. I went out to dinner last weekend. I went to a great place in Lansing, Michigan. It's called the Nightcap. And there's a certain relative there. He's not a relative. He's dating a relative. Kind of an annoying fellow. Thanks. I got that off my chest. This guy orders filet mignon. I'm sorry, but that's a woman's steak. There's no flavor to a filet mignon. So anytime a guy orders a filet mignon, I'm going to check his card. I'm clipping it.
Time for some man law.
Now you're a man!
Yes, today's man law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. And today's man law makes a lot of sense to me, but they all do because I pick them. Is it acceptable to hide a beer somewhere in your fridge, Jop?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Thank you.
I have that guy.
Don't you?
He knows that we're kind of into microbrewed beers, and he comes over, and, you know, he drives by 6 beer stores to get to my house, and his car has no idea.
Some light. Great. Yeah, thanks for bringing that.
Where they are. And yeah, he's like, so, you got a beer?
I can't even marinate anything in that beer you brought.
Right. Yeah. You know, he rolls in, and so, you got a beer? And I look at him like, no. Nope, I don't have any beer.
Park
in my
fridge. BMW on the street.
Right. It's a beer store right around the corner. Enjoy your walk. But yeah,
most men agree with you, by the way.
Right.
It's totally acceptable to hide beer.
You know, I offer a beer to anybody that comes to my house. I mean, that's my welcome sign. You want to come in and have a beer,
well,
shoot the breeze, whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, there's always some that I like that I don't have enough of that I'm not going to give my favorite beer to everybody that comes
to my
house.
No. And a classic example, my daughter Emily is expecting twins. Her and Matt came home last weekend, a couple weeks ago, and we had a shower. So all the husbands and dads went out in the garage. I had all kinds of beer ready, right? And then my son's friends start showing up, and they kept showing up and kept showing
up. All they care about is wet and cold,
yeah,
man.
I know, and I'm like, oh, can I have another? I was like, yeah, okay, one more. Sure. And they cleaned out my refrigerator. I had a lot of beer. But fortunately, I had a lot of beer.
Right. You still got some more.
Dude, we've got so many more burgers we could go through. But I think, you know, that gives us a little bit of a foothold on some good practices for burgers. And that's it.
You know what? It's been a good week. Get out, fire up a grill, enjoy your weekend, and thanks for listening to The Grilling Guys.